Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take Podcast. My name is Mike Brown. It is an absolute pleasure to be talking with all of Red Nation about everything related to the Houston Rockets, and especially tonight's unfortunate outcome to the best team in the league. And my personal opinion, the Phoenix Suns will win the NBA championship this year. I know I'm not going out on a huge ledge there, but my opinion is that that Suns team is going to win the NBA finals this year. So we are here to talk all things Houston Rockets versus the Suns. We're here to talk about the NBA draft and the potential impact this March Madness tournament is going to have on that draft. If you are in Spotify Green Room live audience, go ahead. If you would like to come up and on stage and talk all things Houston Rockets, hit that request to speak button, as I am taking any and all calls. Always good to have you, Sean, in the chat. A pleasure to have you a part of the show as always. Now, getting to the box score breakdown tonight, we'll start with the Suns. The fact that they gave up 21 points to Torrey Craig is absolutely unacceptable for a guy who's averaging 6 points on the season. But he had 21 tonight. Mikal Bridges, who is an absolute star, 26 points, played 44 minutes tonight. DeAndre Ayton, 23 points, 11 rebounds. Cameron Payne, 6 points, but did have 11 assists. Devin Booker, who is one of the baddest dudes on the planet tonight, had 36 points. Unreal night from him from the field. Their bench, Landry Shamet with 7 points, JaVale McGee with 8 points. Looking at the Rockets box score, surprisingly, all five of their starters were not only a negative in the plus minus, they were a double digit negative in the plus minus. You're not going to win very many games when that happens. But Jayshon Tate, 10 points. Christian Wood, 18 points, 9 rebounds. Garrison Matthews got the start tonight, only 3 points. Kevin Porter Jr., 21 points and 8 assists. Jalen Green with another nice night from the field. He had 22 points, 9 of 15 from the field. KJ Martin, 11 points. And anybody who would like to make a case for the fact that Garrison Matthews should be starting over KJ Martin Jr. on this team at this point, you can try, but I'm not going to agree with you. But, you know, if you think Garrison Matthews should be starting above KJ Martin Jr., I'd love to hear your rationale, you know, on that. I'm always up for, you know, a good laugh in that department. Dennis Schroeder, 17 points off of the bench. Josh Christopher, 18 minutes, had 4 points. Deshaun Nix, 1 point in 12 minutes. Rockets only had 11 turnovers tonight. The Rockets didn't play bad tonight. You know, they were only down by one at half. They got outscored 35-31 in the first, outscored the Suns 27-24 in the second. And then Phoenix remembered that they are 55 and a 14 team. They're a ridiculous 27-6 on the road. I mean, in all honesty, look at this Suns team when they're fully healthy. What's his name? Damari Carroll didn't play tonight. But when they're healthy, I mean, give me a weak spot on this team. Chris Paul didn't play, obviously, tonight. So you add what they put on the court tonight and you put Chris Paul and Damari Carroll on this team. Yeah, I don't think that they're I don't think there's a team in the West that is going to beat them in a 7-game series. I don't think there's a team in the league that's going to beat them in a 7-game series. And I think the Suns, again, win the title tonight. Or excuse me, they win the title this year. So exciting things there. Once again, if you have thoughts on the March Madness bracket, we can talk men's or women's bracket if you guys would like. Hit that request to speak button. I want to hear your thoughts on tournament. I want to hear your thoughts on the roster. I want to hear your thoughts on the performance tonight, the outlook for the rest of the year. What are you guys doing if you're here in the city of Houston? Where are you watching the game starting tomorrow? Do you have big St. Patrick's Day plans? This show, I'm just hosting, baby. I want to hear from you. I want you to feel like you're as part of this show as I am. So we got a good friend of the show, Adam, coming up on stage. Adam, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing today?
Hey, man. I got some crawfish at BB's, watching the Rockets get their butts kicked by the Suns. It's a good night.
Yeah. Don't have too many thoughts on tonight's game. Seems like kind of a macro kind of view of what we've seen with the Rockets against really good teams.
Sure.
You know, good teams will usually come out motivated. You know, then they'll kind of turn a little lax, let the Rockets, get a little confidence, and then kind of just like, you know, they'll toy with us and put us away in the end. But I'm actually a little behind and kind of wanted to kind of bring up something that's a little old news. I'm not sure if you guys have discussed it. Did you guys talk about Doncic's comments on the Rockets?
The fact that we should hang on to Silas.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, they better not get rid of him, like a threat. And he's like, these young guys need him.
Really? Yeah, I mean, we touched on it a little bit, man. First of all, I know I'm going to get killed for this, and I don't know if you're going to agree with me on this, but I've said it before, and it still remains true. And if you disagree with me on this, at @BSW_MB, I don't care what Doncic says or does in this league until he finds a way to win a playoff series. And I know it's not all on him, but if you're going to get lauded as the next big thing and you're the oh my God talent of the league and you're getting signature shoes from Jordan, how about you win a playoff series first? Is that an unfair statement, Adam?
I'm going to have to go against you on this. We've seen it with Harden, right? And I think Doncic is a little bit, I think he's right there at almost at the peak of what Harden was when he was kind of a transcendent single star, you know, on the team, you know, around 20. But there are so few players that are really good enough with a somewhat lackluster roster to just win a series on their own. And Doncic, you know, even though he didn't do it, he was close two times. You know, he scared the hell out of the Clippers. And maybe that's just the Clippers being the Clippers, you know, and just, you know, but.
But come on, man. Like, that's the too much of the mentality going around right now, in my opinion, in professional sports. Like, I get what you're saying, but that's why I'm putting it the way I'm putting it, is if you want to be the superstar, right? You can't put Doncic is not on Harden's level for what Harden has accomplished in this league individually. He's not there yet. I disagree with you on that.
No, of course not. But I think kind of thinking about his age, you know,
But get out of the first round, like win a playoff series, and then I can look at you and I can be like, you know what? Yeah, you are that good. Because right now, you know what he is right now to me? He's a better version of Carmelo Anthony. Like, he can put up the numbers, but where is the team's success? And it's not like it's not like they're putting nothing around him in Dallas. You know, Tim Hardaway Jr., nice players. They gave him Kristaps Porzingis. Like, they're giving him enough pieces. Right now, if the playoffs started today, where are we looking at Dallas? And I don't want to spend too much time talking about Dallas.
Yeah, exactly. It's not. I think they're playing Utah, and I'd pick them against Utah. You know, but
you would?
Yeah,
I don't believe in Utah, but I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. We don't talk too much about this. Is not a Dallas Mavericks podcast, but I would say they beat the Nets tonight. They beat Boston. I think Dinwiddie's been a really kind of great addition for them, and that three guard lineup with Brunson. Mm-hmm. I really like Brunson. I honestly that's the kind of point guard we need. Like that, you know, that's a guy worth $20 million. Kevin Porter Jr. is not worth $20 million to me.
I don't disagree with you. I think that's a great question. I think you bring up a great point. Watching these games, man, like I love Kevin Porter Jr. But you were in on this early. You and I were both in on this, I think, a lot earlier than a lot of other people were. He's a good basketball player. He's not a great basketball player. KPJ isn't. Like, he reminds me a lot of Ketino Mobley. You know, like, Ketino Mobley was a good player in this league for a long time, but he was never a game changer. Like, would I pay to have Jalen Brunson be the next point guard of this team? You damn right I would. But you've got a cheap owner who wanted to take the easy road when Harden was here, didn't do every single thing necessary to win. I feel like if you're listening to this show right now and you're on Spotify Green Room, throw this in the chat. I feel like we've given Tillman Fertitta way too much of a pass this year. Way too much of a pass.
Yeah, I think we've given a lot of them, you know, Stone, Fertitta, Silas, way too much of a pass. Ketino Mobley played his role. He played the off guard. You know, he wasn't dominating the ball, you know? Like, he let Steve Francis cook, and he still got his points efficiently. You know, it's just too much hit and miss. You know, it's too much one out of three games. You know, Kevin Porter, you know, Jr. gets his stats, but he really doesn't have an impact, you know, except like, you know, 25% of the time in terms of really impacting winning and kind of controlling the pace of the game and kind of making the right decisions. It's either, you know, he's making his shots and he's getting his own, or he's not really making his shots and he's done a better job of kind of incorporating his teammates. But
when Mobley was in the league at 24, and how old is Kevin Porter Jr.? Kevin Porter Jr. is
21. Hard. You know, it's hard to pass judgment. That's why it's hard for me to kind of really truly make a fair assessment on kind of what Doncic is. You know, Doncic is what, 22, 23? Like, it's, you know, we don't, you know, Giannis didn't win a championship his first 5 years in the league, you know, and, you know, he was a loser until he wasn't, you know?
So that's fair. I give you that. But for me, Adam, this may be fair, it may be not fair. I'm a results-driven fan. You know what I mean by that? Like, for me, it's, yes, you come into this season with an understanding, right, of the Rockets were not going to win a championship this year. But Jalen Green in the first half of this year sucked for the most part. He wasn't a good basketball player.
He wasn't being assisted. They weren't facilitating his success, you know, and that's one of the biggest problems. You know, when you draft somebody number two overall and he's obviously got some pressure on him, a lot of some of that pressure standards he's put on himself.
Yeah. But by league standards, some of that he wasn't a good player. That's my point.
Yeah.
And the thing about he now is it's obviously a lot different. He's showing us, like, hey, I can play. Well, okay, I'm happy. And that's all I wanted out of Jalen Green. If I'm a Dallas Mavericks fan, right, what is your expectations with the Mavericks team this year? What do you expect? Like, what's a realistic expectation as a Mavericks fan?
They could, you know, get to the second round and push a really good team to 6 or 7.
Okay. I think that's fair. And to me, if they did that, I would look at Luka. I'd be like, you know what? You lived up to expectations. Thus far, in my opinion, with him and his performance being in the league, he has not lived up to the expectations that people have for him. I would agree with you. If they can make it into a second round series with a really good, let's say Golden State, right? And they take Golden State to 6 or 7, I'm like, all right, you had a good year. If they don't, then people start to question it. Let's bring it back here to the Rockets.
Yeah.
Christian Wood has had, by his standards, I think a decent year. But the writing is on the wall with what Christian Wood is. You saw it tonight. He's not going to help you beat a team with a dominant big man in the middle.
Yeah, this is where Silas's loyalty goes.
And by the way, neither is Şengün. I'm going to throw that out there. I like Şengün a lot. Defensively, he's awful.
Yeah, I've been more tepid on Şengün. For like Christian Wood, we will never get more than a middle first round pick for him. It doesn't matter if next year he starts out putting up 20 and 15. Nobody's going to believe in that guy. You know, like his whatever people think of him has already been established in the league. And that's why I don't understand kind of the minutes allocation towards the end of the year. I don't understand any of these decisions. And a lot of this is just like a Jedi mind trick by Silas, you know, and just trying to get us to, like, you know, trust, you know, it's like trust in the, you know, trust the process type of stuff. And it's like, I don't know what your process is to trust it. You know, we're just told to believe in you because a couple of, you know, superstars have vouched for you from your previous, you know, it's like, I don't see it. KPJ and Jalen Green, I have seen enough to know that they don't complement each other well on team. You know, like they when they're both get their points, they're not, it doesn't contribute. I haven't seen enough of it to say that, you know, yeah, when KPJ and Jalen Green both get 20, we're going to win that game or we're going to be close in that game. More times than not, I've seen it be a 10.
Yeah.
And so, like, my kind of final kind of tangential point. I was at, you know, I had a close-up seats for kind of Celtics and Detroit a little while ago, you know, and I was watching, you know, literally kind of 10, 15 feet from Cade Cunningham. And I've seen all the kind of assessments of him versus Jalen Green. I think Jalen Green could do what Cade Cunningham is doing. You see how Jalen Green kind of navigates the pick and roll. He gets to his spot at the, you know, the kind of corner kind of free throw line extended, you know, rises up for a shot. I think he could. I would love to see him get 30 points as actual kind of lead ball handler on this team down the. They're like pigeonholing him in this off guard position, and I just don't trust in KPJ as a lead point guard going forward. And I think you got to expand Jalen's kind of capabilities. And the best way to do that is to get him minutes at a lead point guard position. You know, it's just, I've seen enough of KPJ. I believe in him as an NBA player. I believe in him as a sixth man, possible kind of sixth man of the year in 2-3 years down the line. But I don't want that guy as my point guard of the future. I don't see that in him, you know? And you said it about Garrison Matthews. Why is he still getting minutes when, if he's not putting up 10 shots a game, you know, and, you know, seven threes and hitting him at a fair clip, he shouldn't be starting and he shouldn't be getting more than 15 minutes a game. It's just, all of this stuff, it's hard for me to make an assessment on all these players. Like Usman Garuba, I've kind of admittedly been really low on this guy, just kind of from seeing what he is on tape previously and kind of summer league, and it's limited action, so it's hard to assess. But if they're not even playing him 1 minute, you know, like they don't, it's hard for me to say that the coaching staff believes in him. You know, if they don't believe in him and they see him every day, why should I believe in him? You know, it's like, there's so many things I don't get that it's kind of mind numbing to me, you know?
Well, I also don't understand, as I'm watching the game tonight, why is Bruno Fernando not playing? Like, he only had, what, the best game of his career, and now you barely play him in, what, the game Sunday? Yeah, you didn't play him in the game on Sunday. You didn't play him in tonight's game. I'm like, what are you doing?
I had a rumor that they're trying to, like, you know, hold down his value so they only have to pay him, you know, $250,000 next. I'm making a joke, but like, it's like, there's no reason not to play that dude. Like,
this front office and this ownership group is not that smart. Don't give them that much credit.
No, I'm making a joke. I'm being sarcastic.
I got you. That makes sense. No, but I'm like, on a serious note, And Sean, good friend of the show, Sean Kane, you know, made a comment a couple shows ago that I'm a lot more fun after a win. That's true. I think that's fair for anybody, right? Starting tonight, I'm going to try and be as energetic and as fun even after the losses. But I'm just going to phrase the way I say negative things in a different manner, I guess, is what I'm going to try and do. Like, the one takeaway I have that doesn't get talked about enough on this show over the past two seasons is I would give anything for Tillman Fertitta to sell this team. I would give anything because I don't like Tillman Fertitta. I don't trust Tillman Fertitta. I think he's a snake. I think he's a cheap SOB. I think he'll do anything for a dollar from his fan base, but doesn't give back to the fan base, if that makes sense, Adam.
Yeah.
You go inside the stadium and you're paying $140 for a jersey for a team that has 17 wins. Are you kidding me? You know, things like that. I think he's fake, and I think he's one of the three worst owners in the NBA. And I would put him up there in the city of Houston tied for worst owner with Cal McNair. I think they're equally as bad and dysfunctional.
Yeah, I mean, on a limited, you know, obviously he hasn't owned the team very long, but from what he has, if I'm giving him a fair assessment, he looks like a billionaire that enjoys owning a basketball team and enjoys kind of having synergy across his businesses, being able to advertise Landry's across, next to the Rockets logo and all this other stuff. But, you know,
Good owners don't care about that. You know what Steve Ballmer doesn't care about? That. You know what Mark Cuban doesn't care about? That. Yeah. They care about winning. You know who tries to synergize all their businesses together? James Dolan for the Knicks. And James Dolan will never accomplish anything because he's a terrible owner. Yeah. And that's why watching this team right now, it's just infuriating. You know, on a mostly every game basis, like you're just watching this and I'm like, Silas sucks. Like I tried to talk myself into Silas, you know, during that nice little run that they have. And I think that he was only playing a majority of those young guys because he had to, you know, like he's still playing Christian Wood. He's still playing, Gordon when he's healthy.
Daryl Morey in the midst of that 7-game win streak, he would have traded Christian Wood for 2 first-round picks. Like there's some kind of assessment that you just got to be cutthroat at some point and just like being able to make good decisions, even against your heart, even when someone for Tita was, when the Rockets were at their best, under for Tita's watch, a little bit too buddy buddy with Harden and wanting to be his friend. And that probably led to kind of acquiescing to trading for Westbrook. You know, there is a lot of decision. There's kind of good and the good and bad of Fertitta both kind of ends up in bad results ultimately, you know, from what I've seen so far. But maybe he falls into just kind of Jalen Green just, you know, having a huge breakout season and being a borderline all-star next year. And, you know, us kind of lucking into a free agent pick and kind of Paolo or Chet, you know, just being great. And basically we win in spite of Fertitta, you know, the same way that we won in spite of Mikhail all those years ago when we won in spite of,
you can't use that Mikhail example because Mikhail sucked too.
He didn't know we won in spite of him. He wasn't a good coach.
What I meant to say was they never won anything. Right. And the thing is everybody who loves Morey, like would I have a beer with Daryl Morey? Yes, I absolutely would. I think he's an awesome He's somebody that I would love to sit down and have a meal with. Would you consider him a great general manager?
No.
You personally?
No.
Yeah, because he's never done anything of significance. And that's the bridge that I have to cross with people. Because when I say that somebody has never done anything of significance in the league, what I'm talking about is what have you won? Like individual awards to me is the most overrated aspect of sports today, whether it's, you know, the participation trophy method that a lot of leagues have now taken up across, the states, where I grew up in a generation where if my team didn't come in first, I didn't necessarily get a trophy. Too bad. So sad. Go get better. You know? And that's what I judge. That's why I watch sports, Adam, is what have you done for me lately in the win-loss column? Like, yeah, the Rockets got to the Western Conference Finals. I was in the building for those games. Were those games incredible getting to go with my dad to all those games? Yeah, the atmosphere was incredible. But anybody that says that Rockets team won something is a liar because they didn't win anything. They got close to winning what ultimately every team should aspire to win. But if you win an MVP, that's great. That's awesome. Individually, you succeeded to the highest level you can get to. But if your team gets out in the second round of the playoffs, you as an organization failed that season. I don't look at teams like the Rockets. I don't look at individual accolades and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Yeah, if Jalen Green makes the All-NBA rookie first team, awesome. Good for him. But don't expect me to throw some sort of parade for this Rockets team because Jalen Green made the first team rookie team.
Of course not. Of course not. You know what I mean?
I don't feel like there's enough of a commitment right now, today, at 9:44 p.m. on a Wednesday. There's not enough of a commitment from this front office to go do every single thing possible to help this team win.
So let me ask. So I agree, Morey wasn't great, but you have to be good to get to great. And right now we don't at any level of the organization, we're not good. And so like I put it in like a coin toss, you know, 50-50 proposition. We don't have, if we rank the coaches in the league, we have a bottom five coach in the league right now. Easy. If you look at, you know, in terms of our kind of general manager, he's not proven, you know? So in terms of kind of all of the kind of, you know, general managers in the league, probably top, you know, bottom 10. And, you know, ownership has proven to be, you know, not very good. And the roster is very, very young. So basically, like to be good in that sense, if you don't have an experienced, you know, proven coach or a proven general manager or mixing in a couple of proven winners that are veterans in your system, it's, you know, like you're asking basically to win the lottery. You know, you're basically trying to say, I need to bet on heads, you know, four times in a row. That's possible, but it's not probable. And that's where we are with the Rocks. You know, this team, it wouldn't be great, but how would, you know, what do you think D'Antoni would have done with this offense this year? It wouldn't be what Silas has done, right? I bet you under D'Antoni, Jalen Green would be rookie of the year. Right? Can we say that?
Yeah. I mean, I think he'd be
vying for it, right?
I think we're on the same page. I think it's what you just described is the fact that you have a bottom five owner in the league, a bottom five coach, a bottom five GM, and a bottom three roster. So what are you going to do? So
we have the best G League team in the league. You know, this is the best G League team.
Like, yeah, but you brought the talent. Yeah, for sure. Like you look at the G League and you're like, yeah, cool. But now you brought those guys up. Deshaun Nix, is he a nice player? Is he a nice story?
I don't know because they haven't given him a shot. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I mean, he played 12 minutes tonight. He was 0 of 3 from the field and he had a point, you know, and for as much credit as people want to give Raphael Stone for the NBA draft haul from this past year, is Şengün going to be a monster at this level? It remains to be seen. He's terrible defensively and he had 5 points tonight. Like, now, did he have that nice move on JaVale McGee where he dropped JaVale McGee, threw it off the backboard and finished it at the rim? Yes. Are there a lot of guys in the league that can make that move? No. But you get Jalen Green. I think Jalen Green is a star. I think Josh Christopher is going to turn out to be a really, really good bench guy eventually. Garuba is a nothing. And for me, individually, personally, the verdict is out on Şengün. That's not an incredible haul. Like, and outside of that, what has Raphael Stone, outside of Jayshon Tate, done to impress you with this roster?
So this is what I'll say. You know, like, this is more so maybe about the coaching than the gen. You know, it's hard to really assess kind of year one, year 1.5 of Stone. It hasn't been extremely promising. You know, like, you know, there's things I would have done differently, but
sure.
In assessing this team, like I think about it this way: if you drop Jayshon Tate on the Nets, he'd be averaging 13 points off the bench and people would be acting like, you know, this guy, he deserves $13 million a year. You know, if you drop Josh Christopher on a really good kind of championship contending team, he would be a revelation for them. If you drop Kevin Martin, you know, like, but we're not getting commensurate kind of results out of this team. And that's coaching to me. That's coaching, you know?
Well, I think it's coaching. Yes, I totally agree with you. I've said it since the beginning of the year that I feel like the coaching staff, even outside of Silas, I mean, Silas is not very good. Sean makes a really good point that big guys do take time to develop. I totally agree with that. But again, and whether this is fair or not, like from what I've seen from Şengün thus far, I like parts of his game. I do not like him defensively. I think he is a liability defensively against any of the dominant big men in the league. And that's problems because I don't think he's going to get better, you know? Like to me,
he will get better. But the problem is, we kind of know what his peak is, and that's the problem if you have a year one, year two player, and you know what their peak is. If Şengün is you know shooting 35% from three, I can see him being a 15-8 guy on you know in 30 minutes a game, and that's a pretty good player, you know. But can he get to 35, possibly 38% from three? That's hard to do, you know, but he doesn't, you know, quickness, you know, you don't gain quickness. You don't gain athleticism, you know, as you stay in the league, you know, so this is the best. This is to me the peak athleticism and the, you know, he can move his feet better. He can be better on defense, but he's never going to kind of, you know, be a great, you know, chase down, you know, being, you know, chasing down blocks and things of that nature. So we kind of know what his peak is. So like, that's where all this Jokic stuff needs to kind of stop, you know, like it needs to never have even started, you know, but.
Well, Jokic is a monster. I actually disagree with you here because I don't think we know what Şengün is. I think the thing about him is, I guess I'll put this out there. When was the last time the Rockets had a dominant power forward? Not a center. Who was the last dominant power forward that the Rockets employed? You think about that real quick.
Scola, and that he wasn't even dominant. He should have made an All-Star team one year when he averaged 19 points a game before they traded him away. But he was a good complement to Yao, but not dominant, right? Like,
but that's my point.
Yeah,
is the Rockets are in such desperate need. And Shane says Dwight in his first year. Dwight Howard is not a power forward, Shane. Come on, man. Come on. I'm talking about guys like let me see. Julius Randle. Like guys like that. Look at the Suns. Have a guy like Mikal Bridges. Look at a guy like a Jabari Smith. Look at a guy like a Paolo Banchero coming out of Duke. I don't think it's fair to assess what. To be fair to Christian Wood, I want to know what Christian Wood looks like with a dominant power forward, not another center, you know, because I wouldn't call Şengün a center, like per se. It's tough. Like, it's almost like he's positionless. Benny asked, could y'all see Şengün being another Sabonis? I mean, I think Sabonis is a damn good ball player. I think Sabonis is a better rebounder. You know, like that fit there also never made sense in Indiana. That's why they traded Sabonis, because Turner and Sabonis are two similar type of guys.
Well, basketball is a game of inches. And when you lack kind of elite or even kind of average, you know, he's average athleticism for a big man, you know, and his kind of mental kind of makeup kind of makes up for some of that stuff, but he's 6'9¾", I think. Right. Like a guy like Joakim Noah, he was 6'11", you know, like there's a different, like I would feel differently if, you know, Şengün was 7 feet, you know, like Jokic gets a lot of utility out of being 2 inches taller, 3 inches taller, you know? And so with Şengün at 6'9", he's a power forward. And when you go down to power forward, that means you got to be even quicker. And he's definitely not, if he's barely quick enough to guard these centers, you know, and be kind of usable there, he's not, you know, it's not a good option at power forward. And then you need an elite, you know, center, you know, to back him up. And that's not what we have in the draft other than possibly Chet, but that's, kind of hit or miss for me. A funny thing that I thought about recently with like Christian Wood, Christian Wood's comp to me is Maurice Taylor from the Rockets back in the day.
You know, I love me some Mo Taylor.
You love what he should be doing, you know, but like the 3-point, you know, being a shooter never materialized, even though kind of the stroke looked good, you know, like he reminds me of just Maurice Taylor. Maurice Taylor, he'd always get his 15-8, you know, but it never looked really great. And, you know, Yao and kind of other teammates had to kind of, you know, help him along, but he never had that killer instinct. He never was, you know, won matchups against even near elite players, and just, it was all potential. And Christian Wood is all potential to me, you know, and I think, and eventually you can't make a case for potential when you're 26, 27, because if you haven't shown it at that age, you're not going to show it. This is his peak, you know, and that's why they messed up by not getting rid of him, but not trading him earlier. That's
well, I still think he's tradable. I mean, I don't think he's not tradable. I think, dude, I'm beyond fascinated. We'll wrap the show up here in a few minutes. It'll be fascinating what they do in the draft, because if they get the number one pick, I can't tell you. I know what I would do, but if I'm the Rockets, I have no idea what they're thinking, I guess is the best way to put it.
Can I tell you? I think I have a sense of what they're thinking. This is
if they get the number one pick, who do you think they take?
Well, that's the whole thing. I don't even think they want the number one pick. I think the Rockets would be okay with the number two pick because they don't want to make that choice. They don't want to be on the hook.
Loser mentality.
That's what I fear with, like, you know, like I think they'll be like, okay, you got, you know, like. But for me, I want Banchero, and I think Banchero, his stock has kind of gone down a little bit from the beginning of the year. But I think Coach K has just coached a terrible season. You know, that Duke team has so much talent, and for them to lose games and not utilize their team as they should and not put the ball in Banchero's hands, that's a lot on Coach K. And Coach K hasn't been a good year for the last 4 or 5 years. He's been, you know, he's been resting. He's been kind of, you know, living off past.
I will say this. Yeah, I will say this real quick. I think you're going to see an entirely different Duke team in the tournament. Like, they are going to feast through AJ Griffin and Paolo Banchero in the tournament. That's how I feel. Like, that's who they're going to go through in the tournament. It would not be shocking if they get to the Sweet 16 and then get knocked out. I think Banchero is going to have an incredible tournament, though. I think he's going to be one of the three best players in the tournament.
I wouldn't doubt it. They have the most talented team to me in college basketball.
No.
On paper.
Over Gonzaga?
No.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah. Arizona, Gonzaga.
Not the way they played, but, you know, like, if you think about, like, having three top 15 players in the draft on your roster, like, that's what they got, you know?
That's fair.
Like, possibly four first round picks. Like, you should be, you know, you should go to the Final Four with that roster, you know?
That's fair. Adam, it's always a pleasure, my man.
All right. Thanks a lot for having me.
All right, brother. This has been another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take podcast. Thank y'all so much for joining me here on hump day, Rockets game, losing to the Suns 129-112. Jeremy Brenner will be live with you here on Friday. I have the night off as the University of Houston will be playing the UAB Blazers Friday night in the NCAA men's tournament. So we will be back live here on Spotify Green Room Friday night after the Indiana Pacers game. Once again, this has been another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take podcast. Make sure to check out The Dream Take on Twitter at The Dream Take. Check out The Dream Shake on Twitter at Dream Shake SBN. Follow my co-pilot, Jeremy Brenner, at Jeremy Brenner. And once again, you can follow me at BSW_MB. Sean says combo live coverage of the U of H game. Potentially, maybe check in from whatever sports bar we were watching the game at. Sean, definite possibility. Whose house? Coach's house, baby! You can follow me on Twitter at BSW Podcast _MB. on Facebook, search The Dream Shake to follow and like The Dream Shake. Head on over to thedreamshake.com every day that ends in Y for all things Houston Rockets, for all of our content from all of our incredible writers. Until next time, Rockets fans, go Rockets!